Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making an old-school drum and bass call-and-response riff with Chop Tile character in Ableton Live 12, and we're going for that late 90s, early 2000s jungle energy, musical, gritty, slightly unstable, and ready to lock with a heavy roller. The big idea here is simple, but it's super important. We are not just writing notes. We are building a little conversation. One phrase makes a statement, and the next phrase answers it. That call and response shape is a huge part of classic jungle and DNB because it creates tension without overcrowding the groove. The drums and bass get to do their thing, and the riff sits in the pocket like it belongs there. First, set your project tempo to 172 BPM if you want that classic rolling feel, or 174 if you want a slightly sharper modern edge. Keep it in 4/4 and work in a 1/16 grid for detail. For the key, minor works best here. F minor and G minor are especially nice because they sit well with dark subs and moody melodic fragments. Now here's a very important advanced mindset shift. Write the musical idea first, then dirty it up. Don't start with distortion and lo-fi tricks and hope the riff becomes convincing. Start with something that already feels like it could have been sampled from an old record. Think short organ stabs, electric piano fragments, horn-like synth notes, or a simple modal riff. It should already have that found artifact energy. Create a MIDI track and load a simple instrument first. Wave-eatable, analog, or operator all work great. Keep the sound pre-basic, short decay, medium-low register, slightly plucky. Not too clean. A saw and triangle blend, a low-pass filter, a fast attack, short decay, and low sustain will get you in the right zone. You want something that feels like it could be chopped later. Now write the call phrase. This can be one bar or two bars, but make it memorable and rhythmically strong. Old-school DNB often lives on offbeats and syncopation, so place some stabs on the end of the beat. Use repeated pitches with tiny changes, and end the phrase in a way that suggests something is coming next. In F minor, notes like F, Ab, C, and Eb are a great place to start. Don't make it too busy. The power is in the shape and the rhythm. Then write the response phrase. This should not just repeat the call. It should answer it. Maybe it drops lower. Maybe it becomes more clipped. Maybe it uses a stronger ending note. Maybe it shifts into a different rhythmic pocket. The point is contrast. If the call asks a question, the response should feel like the answer, not a copy-paste. A good trick here is to think in terms of emotional movement over four bars. Bar 1 feels like the statement. Bar 2 feels like a correction. Bar 3 feels like escalation. Bar 4 feels like the reset. That tiny evolution keeps the loop alive. Once the riff works musically, now we give it chopped vinyl timing. There are two main ways to do this. The first is to resample the riff to audio and use simpler in slice mode. Freeze or flatten the track. Drag the audio into simpler, set it to slice, and slice by transients or by 1/16 if it's already rhythmic. That gives you a sampler-style way to trigger fragments. Try not to make everything too rigid. Leave some slices a little early or late, and don't over-quantize every detail. The second way is to stay in MIDI and make it feel chopped manually. Shorten note lengths aggressively. Leave tiny gaps. Nudge a few notes slightly ahead or behind the grid. Duplicate a motif and change the last two notes. You're aiming for edit-like phrasing, not perfect sequencing. That slightly human, slightly unstable timing is a huge part of the illusion. Now let's build the vinyl feel with stock Ableton devices. A really useful chain for the melodic track is EQ8, Saturator, Redux or Erosion, Auto Filter, Chorus Ensemble or Vinyl Distortion if you have it, Echo and Utility. Start with EQ8 to shape the band like it came off an older record. High pass somewhere around 80 to 140 Hz so it stays out of the sub. If it feels boxy, dip a little around 250 to 400 Hz. And if it's too bright, gently roll off the top above 10 to 12 Hz. We want sample-like tone, not shiny digital polish. Next, use saturator with a little drive, maybe +2 to +6 dB. Keep soft clip-on. This adds density and helps the riff sit with the drums without needing to be louder. It's one of those glue moves that makes the part feel more physical. For degradation, choose either Redux or Erosion. Redux is good if you want a subtle bit depth and downsampling flavor. Erosion is great if you want grain and roughness in the upper mids and highs. Use these carefully. The goal is not to destroy the melody. It's to give it age and edge. Then use auto filter to make the riff breathe. A slow low-pass sweep can make it feel like a sampled loop being opened and closed over time. You can even automate the filter so the call phrase is a little darker, and the response opens up more. That creates a conversation in tone, not just in notes. Chorus ensemble can add a touch of width and wobble, but keep it subtle. Too much and it stops sounding like an old record and starts sounding like a washed-out synth pad. We want a little instability, not obvious chorus. Echo is another big one. Use it sparingly for a dubby, broken rave tail, sync it to 1/8D, 1/4, or 1/16 depending on the groove. Keep feedback moderate or low, and darken the repeats. It's especially effective if you automate the mix or send so only the tail of a phrase blooms out. That gives the riff a nice sense of space without stepping on the drums. Use utility to keep the core focused. A width around 70 to 90% is usually enough. In general, keep the body tighter and let the width live in the upper layer or the delay return. Now let's make the chopping feel intentional. A really strong approach is to chop by phrase, not by every single note. Let the call be one chopped section, the response be another chopped section, and maybe a tiny fill be a third micro chop. That reads like sample-based composition, which is exactly what we want. You can also chop the last word of the phrase. Let most of the riff play naturally, then repeat the final note, reverse a fragment, cut the tail short, or stutter a slice for a 16th or 32nd note. That can feel like the record is being pulled back for a second, which is a very classic kind of movement. To add groove, use the groove pool with a subtle swing setting, maybe somewhere around 54 to 58%, but apply it lightly. Not every layer needs the same swing. Also, manually humanize a few notes. One early stab here, one delayed response note there, one shorter note somewhere else. Those tiny imperfections matter a lot. An advanced move is to add a second layer for contrast. Maybe your main riff is a gritty mid-range sample-like voice, and the response layer is a higher octave stab, a reverse texture, a detuned bell, a short organ patch, or even a vocal chop. The key is contrast. If the call is dark, make the response brighter. If the call is sustained, make the response percussive. If the call is centered, let the response open out a bit. At this point, start thinking arrangement, because a great loop is only useful if it drops properly. In the intro, tease the riff with filtered fragments, maybe just drums and atmosphere underneath. In the build, reveal the full call and let the response answer with a little more filter openness or a bit more echo. In the drop, keep the riff shorter and more rhythmic so it leaves room for the snare and bass. Then after 8 bars, change one element, octave, rhythm, filter, chop order, or tail effect. By the second drop, you can make it heavier by adding a darker response layer, a lower octave stab, or a slightly more aggressive chop treatment. And here's the big mix rule for drum and bass. The riff must work with the rhythm section, not fight it. Leave room for the kick, snare, ghost snares, and break edits. If the riff lands too hard on the snare, shorten it, move it off the transient, or automate a small volume dip around the backbeat. Also, keep the low end clean. High pass the riff if necessary, and let the sub live separately. If needed, use a subtle sidechain compressor from the kick just to make a little room. A few common mistakes to watch for. First, don't make the call and response too symmetrical. If both phrases are too similar, the loop feels repetitive instead of conversational. Second, don't overchop every note. That usually turns the riff into a jittery mess. Third, don't clean it up too much. Old school DNB needs some grime, some bandwidth restriction, some instability. And fourth, don't let the riff compete with the snare or the sub. Bass is part of the style. If you want to push the darker side, use minor second tension, tritones, flattened fifths, or minor seventh movement. Restrict the bandwidth a bit more, maybe high pass around 100 Hz and low pass somewhere between 6 and 10 Khz depending on how bright you want it. You can also resample your own riff back to audio after processing and rechop it again. That usually makes the texture feel more unified and more like a real edited source. One of the best advanced habits is to treat the riff like a discovered artifact. Ask yourself, what kind of source material would plausibly exist on an old record? How would time have worn it down? And how was it edited back together? If you think in terms of source, where, and edit history, your processing choices start to sound like character instead of fake lo-fi effects. For a quick practice exercise, build a 4-bar hook in F minor at 172 BPM. Make bars 1 and 2 your call, then bars 3 and 4 your response. Process it with EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and echo. Resample it. Bring that resample into simpler. Then make 3 new variations from the chopped audio. The goal is to make each version feel like it could belong to a different section of the track, intro, drop, and turnaround. So that's the workflow. Write a strong phrase, make it answer itself, give it chop timing, at vinyl style wear, and arrange it like a real drum and bass record. If you get this right, the riff won't just sit on top of the track, it'll feel like part of the tune's identity. If you want, I can next turn this into a specific 8-bar MIDI example, a custom Ableton device chain concept, or a full old-school jungle arrangement template.